Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 10th of June, and I am recording at 9:26 p.m., and that is British summertime. Now, well, it's all rock and roll in these markets, and we really should get used to it because there's going to be plenty of volatility, I think, going forward. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But what caused it today? Well, first the bulls were back in force. I think we had a fair amount of short covering, and also a little bit of buying. And the main reason for this is that Germany looks like is going to consider offering Greece a staggered deal on aid. Now, it'll need a number of staggered deals or lots of staggering in here, if you will, because Greece has got plenty of economic problems and they're not going to be resolved by an agreement to somehow shoehorn it a little bit more firmly within the EU. But that's better than a breakup, not least given all the debt. Greek debt that is held mainly by the IMF, mainly by the ECB, I should say, but also the IMF, and Greek banks. Now, that amounts to, according to Bloomberg, approximately 320 billion euros. So we're not talking about chicken feed here. And the banks, say the ECB and the IMF, the Greek banks, don't want to see that written down. That's for sure. So, what about the specific markets? What have we actually seen here? And I think I should mention first that bonds, which are going to be front and center here, I think, for really quite some time, moved higher again. Now, that U.S. 10-year, which had surged to 2.438% yesterday, is up to 2.48% here today. So this has really moved up very, very sharply, as you can see. And I'm convinced that really we've got the lows in on these bond markets. I think that applies to Germany and also the UK and any of the developed economies. I think the lows are in on the bond markets, and also apply to most of the developing economies as well. Now, there's another factor here in the news, and excuse me, and that is that the World Bank has joined the IMF in urging the Fed to delay rate rises until 2016. Well, why would they be doing that? Not too hard to guess, but they see those bond yields shooting up. They've seen the problem of weakness in some of the emerging market currencies, not least in Asia. They were a little bit steadier in here today, by the way. And I think that these agencies are quite concerned that the economy is still a little bit too fragile. I'm talking about the global economy. It's not that the U.S. economy is roaring ahead, but it appears to be firmer than a good many others. So that means we're going to have monetary policy remaining accommodative, certainly for a while longer. I feel that one of the most important things is for the Fed to help nudge this U.S. dollar lower in here, and it weakened again today. We had a sharp drop yesterday. The dollar index is down over half a point here today. It's at 94.59%, and It really does need to come a bit lower because that would certainly be a boost for GDP growth, because we know that the dollar has been a headwind, the dollar rally has been a headwind for the US economy. We also know that a lot of emerging markets had borrowed US dollars. That was when the dollar was lower, and that was while QE was still continuing. And a strong dollar can certainly cause problems for those economies. So get the dollar lower, help GDP GDP growth. That would also enable the Fed to commence some of those quarter point interest rate hikes. Whether they do it during the second half of the year is still my hunch, or whether they I mean, they're certainly not going to ignore the World Bank and IMF comments. Okay, excuse me for the cough. Now, let's look at these markets here and see what we've actually got. First, the German news regarding Greece. I'm not sure when that was actually received, but it does not, well, it may have helped the Japanese market a little bit here today, but it was a little bit softer, down about a quarter to a third of a percentage point across the Japanese indices today. One of the few markets to the downside. Also, China was a little bit weaker. Now, you remember that I mentioned in last night's audio, if you were able to hear it, that just as I was talking about it, were the China A shares going to be accepted for the broader global trading? And the answer came back provisionally yesterday that yes, they were favorably viewed, but it's a case of not yet, maybe a year from now, you're making progress. And that disappointed China. Not too much on the Shanghai Composite Index. That was only down a fraction. But the Hang Seng Index out of Hong Kong, that fell 1.12%. And the China H shares fell 1.77%. Certainly still some softness there. Elsewhere, we had some pretty good gains for the most part. And Taiwan certainly up over a percentage point. India, a little bit of respite here, up about up over 1.25% on its indices. And solid gains here for Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, and Indonesia. And New Zealand was weaker, down nearly 1%. Looking at the European indices, we had some very big gains. I mean, the two biggest ones, the Italian stock market was up 2.5%, and the German market, which I wrote yesterday and mentioned in the audio yesterday, was just had pulled back to just test its rising 200-day moving average, and that was up 2.4%. So these are big gains, clear upward dynamics. So again, if we're thinking about Greece and was this much ado about nothing? Well, clearly not, because it had certainly affected sentiment adversely. All the uncertainty and the fear of the default. And that produced the German offer produced big upward dynamics in a lot of stock markets, and including the last two that I've mentioned here, obviously, well, really all the European stock markets. So that's occurred also against the background of well, corrections. We'd seen declines of over 10% in most of those European indices, and these are the first really big upward dynamics. So what do we next need to see technically? Well, I'd like to see some upside follow through tomorrow, and If we get that, then I think that will provide further evidence that we have at least a low of near-term significance and possibly longer. And also just look at the lows that we saw on Tuesday. Those would have to be taken out to really open the door to deeper corrections for many of these stock markets. So there's some clear technical signals that you can look at now on most of the world's indices. Turning to Wall Street, which certainly was influenced strongly, the Dow up 1.33%, the S&P 1.2%, NASDAQ Composite 1.25%. The utilities index only had a tiny gain, and that's influenced by these bond yields, these surging bond yields that we're actually seeing. Brazil up 2.01%. So again, good solid gains in here today against the background of these oversold conditions, and best gains occurring where we had seen clear corrections as defined by that decline of over declines of over 10% from their highs. Now, in the that I mentioned that the dollar was weaker in here today, so let's pick up some of these other currencies. Euro steady 1.1323. Sterling firmer 1.5528. Australian dollar a little firmer 0.7763. And I think again a little bit of easing by the dollar against India and also Indian currency, Indian rupee, and also the Chinese currency. Now, the softer dollar is bullish for commodities. So we saw the CRY and the CCI, those commodity indices, move higher for the third consecutive day in here. And precious metals reflected the weaker dollar. Platinum is $6 higher at 1114.4. Palladium, four and a half, just over four and a half. It's up to 744 and change. Silver, just a little bit firmer, but 15.97. And gold picking up to 1186. Those are coming off low levels, those precious metals. And really, I don't think there's a huge amount of interest in them in the markets here right now. The gold bulls are always bullish, as we know. The patterns overall are not that good. Really, it's just been a question of are they going to hold their lows in here quite recently? And my answer on that is yes, they will if the dollar continues to weaken, and that's an if. Now, in terms of a weaker dollar, I'm not talking about a major decline overall, but ever since that dollar index got up over 100, I thought that was the point where the I think the Fed really it made all sorts of sense for the Fed to go in and intervene there surreptitiously, obviously, and they want to drive it lower, 95 or just below 95 on the dollar index, 94.57 as I speak. That's not low enough, and to get it down to a little below 90, and that would be better for the U.S. economy and global GDP growth generally. Okay, what else to mention here on the commodities? The industrial metals firmer in here today also. Copper at 274.25, that's up 2.85 here today. Again, these industrial metals are coming off depressed levels overall. So we could see a little bit of bargain hunting and also some additional short covering. But the bigger story overall is you're probably, I'm sure you're well aware if you've been listening to these audios, is that technology is playing a major part in helping to keep these commodity prices lower. Obviously, global demand is not all that strong, not least from China. But technology means that the miners can produce a lot more efficiently, at lower costs, and therefore, the bigger, well-funded miners are continuing to do just that. And while I expect choppy markets, and I think that we will see more corrections, there's a chance now that this one is over. Today's action is the first sign that it might be over. Again, watch Tuesday's lows. Now, I do feel though that we'll see more corrections over the next few months. I described that at the beginning of this audio as not necessarily a bad thing, but you'll have more volatile conditions. And a major factor for behind that is the rise in government bond markets. That's a very dangerous area here overall. There are a lot of people saying that, well, they'll only go up gradually, and they may be assessing that on a fundamental basis. I think we would need to assess that bond market on the basis of what happens when secular bull markets end. In other words, that 35-year secular bull market that pushed the U.S. Treasury yields and the yields of all other government bond markets down to such astonishingly low levels. And that certainly, there was a lot of one-way traffic in that market. And people have been conditioned to seeing those lower yields. And I think, go back to my point, what happens when secular bull markets end? Well, they don't end quietly. They usually end somewhat dramatically. I hope that doesn't happen, but I think that there's a real risk that it will happen as a lot of people rush to the exits. That would unnerve stock markets quite clearly, but equities will benefit over the medium to longer term from somewhat higher government bond yields as you get a switching of funds from by some people from the fixed interest sector into the equity side, which again, buy it on the dips and be a little bit concerned when these rallies get overextended. And on that note, all the very best to all of you, except just to add, we've got our last markets now for a number of months. I don't think we'll hold another one until late September because of the European holidays during the summer months, UK holidays included in that, of course. And we've got Dr. David Brown. He's an interesting guy if you've heard him speak before, and he's going to be talking a lot about his program for monitoring bull markets and with the objective of increasing profits and reducing risks. And he's quite a guy, as I say, and I think you'll find it interesting. I certainly have. I've seen the preliminary PDF report that he produced just before going on holiday. And I look forward to it, and I look forward to seeing a number of you there if you can possibly make it. On that note, all the very best.